How many of you know the vintage market in Boonville? Anybody know, heard of the vintage market in Boonville? It's a restore kind of shop and repurposing run by Kelly Wolfinger. I'm not doing an advertisement for the store today. Please don't hear that. But I reached out to her and said, "Hey, can you send me a picture of something that that I could use for my my teaching today?" And so she had the perfect thing. And so she sent me this picture of this old desk. And it's a little dark. It's a little hard to see at the bottom there, but it's kind of got a flat front and kind of pops out. A couple doors on the bottom, on the sides. You can see the drawers pulled out, and the coating on it is kind of, you know, it's been sort of wearing off and chipping off. And it's got some wear on it, you know what I'm saying? It's got some brokenness, needs a little loving. You know, it's, we had an old saying, it's like, you just need to show some loving to that thing, right? And yeah, absolutely. And she sent me that picture, and it was, I asked her to do that because there's a truth that says our lives in the condition of sin are like this desk that are broken and worn down and chipped away and haven't have s Oh, let's just say they need some loving shown to it. All right? All right, all right, all right. And really that's kind of us in the brokenness of our sin before Christ. And you know, Lent has been a season for us. I'm going to bring it up again, but it's been a season for us to just be honest with ourselves, like who we are before, you know, before knowing Christ, like we're people that, yes, praise God for the salvation of Jesus Christ. Woohoo! Party on, right? But we also go, you know what? What's so good about that is because I know where I came from and I know where I was at without Jesus. And that's what makes it so good, right? I know I was like, kind of like that broken piece of furniture, and sin had a cost that it toiled, told on my life that brought damage to my life. I had brokenness, my relationship with God was broken, and kind of was eaten away at the varnish, you know, or the enamel, or rotten the wood away kind of from within, and crack the legs maybe, or the corners of it, and chipping away, you know, at the paint, and just needed some loving shown to us. Well, if you know Kelly, Kelly's pretty good about showing some furniture some loving. And so if I can ask you to put that picture up here. So that's before. Now here's the after that she did with that, right? Such a creative eye to be able to see the potential. Again, this is not a promo for her store or nothing, but she does do good work. What I appreciate about Kelly is she can look at something that looks broken and it's kind of at its end and see a new life cycle for it and the potential of what could be and the beauty that can be restored to that piece of furniture. And she puts the time in, right? It doesn't just happen. She's got to work at that to bring that out. But she believes the payoff is worth it because where it's going to be when it's all done is going to be a far comparison to where it was when she started with it. And I think she did a good job on that. She gave it a new life cycle, if you will, right? Who knows what you could use that for now, somewhere. Well, that gets me thinking about Jesus, and I think we're here not talk about furniture, but talk about Jesus. So why don't we just whoop, segue? It's a good time as any. So we'll do that. You know, when Jesus died on the cross for you, for the world, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That's John 3:17. It's just as important as 3:16. We just often don't quote that second part of that, right? Which is no problem. But I wanted to share that today because Jesus did not come to say, "You're done." Jesus came to say, "I see a new life cycle for you. I see a new chapter for you. I see a new trajectory for you." And for in order for that to come to pass, I'm going to go to the cross and I'm going to die for you, because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, right? So he says, I know that, so I'm going to go to the cross for you because I see what can be for you. I'm going to get you reconciled to the Father so that the good I see potential can be made manifest, made known in your life, can come out of you and can bless the world. And ultimately, that's what we're getting at. So Jesus knows that, goes to the cross on our behalf so that that potential can become reality for us, so that we can be reborn and be renewed into the kingdom of God, be spiritually adopted, right, into the family of God, the idea of being reborn. And I want to share with you out of Titus chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. If you have your Bible, you want to open up to the book of Titus, and it's in the New Testament. Feel free to do that or just follow along. I am going to read it for us this morning. But always love, whenever you can take a chance to just open up a Bible, whether it's on your phone or book, and just read those words on the page. There's just something about that, or the screen, either way. There's just something about doing that, right? It's good. But anyhow, that being said, I'm going to read that passage to you, but I want to share these words with you as I get ready to read that. By being reborn, we are being restored. By being reborn, we are being restored. Being reborn is where growth begins. Being reborn is where growth begins. Titus 3, verse 5, Paul says that Jesus saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. When Paul uses those words rebirth and renewal, we go, well, I know he's talking about salvation, which he is. But understand, too, that the word salvation can be interpreted to mean healing. We think salvation being forgiven so that we can come in the kingdom of God. But it also can be interpreted as healing. Salvation being as healing, to be made whole, to be restored. So when Paul says to be reborn, and we go, ooh, salvation, yes. But he's also talking about being restored. A process, a journey of being restored that comes through faith in Jesus Christ and happens because of the Holy Spirit. You notice in verse 5, he says, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. He saw the potential in our lives and he showed us some love, if you will, through the Holy Spirit working in us. And that's what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. Sometimes people feel like the Holy Spirit is this enigma. I don't know what to think about the Holy Spirit. I don't even want to think about it because my brain just goes foggy and crazy. I don't even understand the Holy Spirit. And the only people that talk about the Holy Spirit are like wild, like Pentecostals and charismatic people that are just, you know, it's like, and I watch that and I go, I don't understand that because I don't act like that, you know? And we just kind of leave it up and go, just talk about Jesus and don't worry about the Holy Spirit then, because Jesus will be enough. Well, Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Father are one God. They all work in tandem together. We don't have to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. We ought to understand the Holy Spirit a little bit better, because the Holy Spirit works in tandem with Jesus to accomplish the Father's will for creation. So, thinking about that, when we think about restoration, I thought this is a great time for me to just kind of broach this topic for a moment without chasing rabbit hole, as they say. And I thought, well, what clever little saying can I come up with today that will maybe say this? And I thought, oh, here it is. So I give it to you today. Watch this. So the Holy Spirit heals what hell broke as Jesus takes back what hell stole. Let that sink in your head for a moment. That the Holy Spirit heals what hell broke, because we're broken in sin, as Jesus takes back what hell stole. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit into your life through your salvation to rebirth you into the kingdom of God, to renew you, to take what was dead and to give it life, to take what was worn and to give it a new future, a new potential, to start a new life cycle for you, to bring restoration into your life. It's what the Holy Spirit is, God's restorative agent working in our lives. So what does this look like when you think about restoration? Well, I got three quick little Bible stories. For those who like stories, I'll just share with you this morning. One is found in the Gospel of John, Mark chapter 4. Do you remember, some of you who know the Bible kind of fairly well, some of the stories, let me ask you, do you remember a story when Jesus was asleep on the boat with the disciples and the storm comes up and then they freak out because they think they are going to die? And so they go to Jesus and they're like, "What are you doing, man?" So what does he do? He gets up, gets standing up on the boat, and he says, "Quiet, be still," to the storm. As Jesus says, "Quiet, be still," the Bible tells us what happened. Peace came to the chaos. The Holy Spirit brought peace to the chaos at the command of Jesus. Jesus and the Holy Spirit work in tandem together. You ever heard of a guy named Lazarus? Say, "Oh yeah, I know Lazarus. He died and Jesus brought him back to life," right? And absolutely. So Jesus, in the story, Jesus goes to Lazarus's home there, and Lazarus is in the tomb and he's going to be stinking because he's already been dead for a bit. And Jesus stands outside the tomb and the people are around, and Jesus says to Lazarus, "Lazarus, come out." And as Jesus tells Lazarus to come out of the tomb, it is the Holy Spirit that restored life to Lazarus' body and then strengthened him to stand up and to walk out of that tomb and to be a living miracle there in the midst of his family and the friends and the people that were just wailing and mourning his death. Jesus and the Holy Spirit, whoop, work together. There's my third story is a time when Jesus is walking towards a healing pool, and as the disciples, they were going this direction, and he gets to that pool, and there's an invalid who is sitting outside of the pool, and he cannot get to the healing waters, right? They believe the waters had healing power and was good, and so he's trying to get there. He's been trying to get there for a long time. But guess what happens, as probably a lot of people tended to do when they're thinking about, "I want to go to the healing waters," it's the "I," right? It's the "I want to get there." And so they're often not thinking about other people. So he finds himself daily stuck here outside of the waters. He can't get there because he's going to rely on somebody having to pick him up because he's lying on a mat. So I had to pick him up, carry him to the waters, so that he could rest in the waters and hope that healing would come upon his physical body. And so Jesus stops with this guy that's there and he talks to him. "You want to be healed?" "Yeah." "Okay. Pick up your mat and walk." And as the man, by faith, chooses to believe what he'd just been told, he finds that the Holy Spirit has brought healing upon his body, and he's able to stand up and pick up his mat and to walk. Jesus and the Holy Spirit, working together. Same purpose, to bring restoration into the lives of people, into the world. But it's the Father's will. So in Lent, this Christian part of the Easter season that we've been talking about for the last few weeks, is where we're in right now, is a season for us to reflect on how much God has done for us, as I mentioned earlier, right? Because we know where we've come from, and we go, "Man, I know what God has done. He's done so much for me." And what he's doing in me now to keep restoring and making me whole in new ways as I'm discovering, as I'm growing older. And it's like, God didn't just do one thing 20 years ago in my life. He's still bringing healing and wholeness in my life. And I know he's there and he's working in me. Now I'm not where I want to be. And you go, yeah, I know that. But I can tell you God is in me. The Spirit of God is working in me. And he's doing a work in me that I don't know that I can fully explain to you, but there's something about what I know to be true in my spirit over the years, that what's been happening in me is not just because I've been thinking better thoughts and I've been embracing better philosophies in life and I've been watching better TV programs and I've been cutting back on social media. It's like, are those things probably helpful? Yeah, probably, because you know balance is good. But I know it's God who's been at work in me. There's a mystery. And you may look in the mirror and go, I don't see anything better coming out of this person than where I'm at right now. I think I've given about all I could give, and I think I've kind of reached the end. It's like, I just am what I am, and I'm at where I'm at. And can I encourage you, don't listen to the devil talk lies to you like that, because that is not the truth. If you got breath in your body, you've got an ounce of strength to serve the Lord. And if you're still breathing, you're still growing. You have that opportunity to continue to walk by faith and God to continue to work in you. You just may have to say, Lord, the things I used to do, I can't do anymore. But Lord, I'm still breathing, so show me what I can do for you today and the strength that I have and the well-being that I have, that I could serve you and be faithful and bear fruit for your glory, that more people come to know Jesus. And maybe all that I can do is that I can just sit down and spend time with kids and just tell them about Jesus in my church. And maybe that's all I can do. That's all? That's phenomenal. Because for some, we are at a point at New Hope where we are needing to continue to develop up younger men and women. It's called discipleship. To pass the torch. To pass the mantle. And to step and to do some of the projects and to do some of the teaching and to do some of the leadership and to do some of the praying. No doubt you're praying, but to be front people. You say, well, I don't have a lot of experience in doing that. You know what? That's all right. God's not going to call you because you are equipped to do it. He'll equip you as you say yes. But you have to trust him. And when you trust him, that's when you'll find out that he will give you what you need. And oftentimes, it's not till you say, yes, Lord, here I am, send me, that you find out the things that God can do in you and do through you. And you'll never find it out as long as you sit there and go, well, you know what? I don't think they really need me, and I don't know that I can really make a difference, and I don't know if I have the time, and I don't know if I have the energy, and I don't know if I really want to. And that's a lot of eyes. And the better question is, Lord, what can I do for you? How can I serve you that more people through New Hope will come to know Jesus? And maybe, Lord, that means that you need to do a work in me, because maybe really I'm just not quite where I need to be with you. And I want to give you permission to do that and make me whole where I'm lacking. Heal me where maybe I've got brokenness in me. Spirit, work in my life in a fresh and new way. In ways I don't even know right now. That's okay, because I guess you do, because you're a God of wisdom who knows all things, and I'm just going to have to trust you right now that you're the master carpenter, you're the master restorer, and when I see can't, you see, oh, but I can. Lord, I'm seeing the old desk. It's chipped and it's worn and it's rugged and it's tired and I don't think it's got much left in it, but I know when you look at it and you don't see it's tapped out. You see, it's time for a new life cycle in just a different way. Lord, you see the potential of renewal. The gift of love and peace and joy in new and fresh ways. Still able to be a blessing to the world for Jesus. Just maybe going to look a little bit different. And that's okay. It's all good. That went all even in my notes today. That just was extra, I guess. I don't know. But for what it's worth, Connor, you can just have it. I don't know. With that being said, one of the things I always like to do is to say, okay, now if we talk about God and what we believe should inform how we live, then what are some practical ways that we can go live it out? And so I would be amiss if I didn't offer that today, so I want to do that in a relatively quick manner, which is to say, if restoration is all about love, God loving us, and we need to reflect what's been done for us by God, then how might we love well? Pursuing the work of restoration in our lives. And there's just three things I want to just share with you. I think three focus on about loving well. And one is, if anything, just start with loving Jesus well, okay? If you start with Jesus and you make him the subject, you'll find that the other things that you don't quite maybe get or know will start to line up a little bit better, okay? Find healing and clarity and wisdom. Start with Jesus. Love Jesus well. And maybe that means that you've never made a decision to actually trust your life and your future to Jesus. And if you've never said, I trust you, Jesus. Help me learn to trust and follow you with my life. If you've never actually made that decision from your heart, today's the perfect day to do that. Because that's the first step of being restored, is being reborn in Christ. Say yes to Jesus. And as you say yes to Jesus, can I encourage you to consider how you can intentionally put your time and your efforts and your attention, your energy into that walk with Jesus. Some would call it a relationship with Jesus, a journey, whatever term you want to give it. What I'm talking about, times of prayer, times of being in the scripture, right? We would say it, reading the Bible, times of just, hey, celebrating God together and being a part of, like a small group, or being a part of, just working with as a community of the body of Christ, because in all these different ways that we connect with each other through faith, God's growing us. And that largely comes because we're choosing to put Jesus first in our lives. So if we can take the time to engage in spiritual habits and disciplines in our lives, you're going to find that though it's not because of you, that with you, God is working and making you whole and growing you and giving you a healthier relationship with him. I could talk for 30 minutes just on that, but I'm not going to. Focus on his love for you daily. You could be amazed at just what that in itself will do. Love Jesus well, and I would encourage you, love people well. It's easy to love the nice people. I'm talking about loving the people well that are a little harder to love. You ever known some of those folks? Okay, your laughter says yes. Fair enough. So I would say, talk about loving people well who have not... that you've not been loving well, or they haven't been loving you well. And here's a phrase I want to give you. Consider, so how do I do this? Start what you stopped, or stop what you started. Like, well, that's confusing. Start what you've stopped. Sometimes in relationships, we get so used to being somebody's friend or loved one or family member that we kind of stop expressing to them that we care about them, we respect them, we value them. We used to, and that in a lot back in the day, and we can almost sometimes get to a point where we just assume that they know that, right? And you know what the problem is when you assume things? It just opens the door for misinterpretation. You thought I was going to say something else this morning. See, exactly. Love people well by starting what you have stopped, right? Who are the people maybe that you need to start communicating? I care about you. I respect you. I value you. I like you. I'm glad you're in my life. Thank you for all the things you do for me. Yada, yada, yada. That kind of thing. But the other side is consider maybe you need to stop some behaviors that are making the relationship about you. Sometimes it's easy to take people for granted in relationships. And after a while, we can tend to focus on ourselves and the relationship, and we can potentially begin to think that this relationship's really about me and my happiness. And so if that begins to happen, it's been my experience, firsthand experience myself from wrestling with this, that we can begin to be demanding that our friend, our family member, our spouse, our partner, whatever, has to do these things for us because we deserve that these things be done for us. But no, not really. We don't listen well because we just assume, and sometimes that, well, you need to know how I see this situation. Like, I'm not happy about this, and you need to know about this, right? Or, you know, and we start listening only so we can get the opportunity to go, well, let me tell you something right now. Instead of what? Listening to understand. It's not all about me. It's two people in this relationship. I need to honor the other person and stop making it about me because it's not all about me. And then being impatient with others. You ever get impatient with people? You think they know you well enough. They should know what you want. They should know how you want things. They should give you. They should da, 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 da. You go, come on now. I ain't got all day. Why wasn't this done when I got home? I'm not even going to touch that. I'm not done. The idea is that we're working to bridge the gap that has spread over time because we have stopped doing the things that we used to that were good, or we've started doing things that are unhealthy in our relationship. Hence, I said, consider starting what you stopped or stopping what you started. And I think that teaches Jesus and the cross that bridged the gap for us. Because he saw where we were and that we could have the hope of stopping sinful lifestyle. He started the journey to the cross so that we could have hope and know what it is to be restored in righteousness. Have the power to say no to sin and the enemy. Now here's the one that may not feel as holy as the other ones, but I think it's just as important. Love yourself well. Love yourself well. It ought to speak for itself, but for a lot of people it doesn't. Everybody in the world knows you're broken. You say, well, I try to hide it well. Yeah, but everybody knows you're broken just like them. You don't do anybody a service by hiding your imperfections to other people. You don't need to air all your dirty laundry to people either, but you just, right, come on. All right, so think about loving yourself well. Can I just say for a second, physical self-care and mental self-care. Those are two important ways to love yourself well. Always has been, and I'm finding that's where we've come over the last 2 years. It's as important now, you know, you might say, as it's ever been. We've gone through so much. We as a people, as individuals, we have learned, and I'm as guilty as this, I know, we've learned to self-medicate. Because it's easier to do that than it is to do the hard work. It got quiet. I know that as well as anybody. And perhaps when that is the path you're on, you hear a nagging spirit inside you saying, I have more for you. I want more for you than where you're at right now. I want to make you whole. Will you trust me? You say, yeah, I'll trust you, but it's so hard. I know. I get it. I believe you can do it, but Lord, help me in my unbelief where I struggle with it. You know, it's just saying, Lord, I need your help to get to a better version of myself than where I'm at today. And so for some, that may mean eating better. Better diet choices. Like, what did we get to a nutrition class today? I thought he was talking about Jesus. Jesus gave you the body you have, honor what the Lord has given you. The best that you can. Look, if you're 60, you don't need to go back and be 20 again because you can't. I'm 46. I can't go back and be 16 again. I don't need to be somebody I'm not. I just need to be the best version of Andy today, because that's all God ever asks of you, is to be the best version that you are today as he is shaping you and making you new and restoring you. That's all he's ever asking. I got all these pressures. I got to live up to all this. You know what these people want from me and what they demand? I get it. You ever been a pastor? Not y'all. I mean, y'all are not this way at all. But I mean, I've had that experience before, okay? I understand. But the best thing that you can do is wake up and just give the best version of yourself. And maybe that means you need to drink a little more water and a little less soft drinks. Maybe that means you need to eat a little bit more of a balanced diet than just eating junk food. Maybe that means you need to check your insulin a little more often. And no, you maybe not get over cancer. You may not. You may not be able to stop dementia. You may not be able to keep yourself from having a stroke. Do you see that that's not the point? Restoration is not about that. It's about being whole right where you are in the moment that you're in, that you walk that day in peace, offering the best version of yourself to God. That's what this is about. That's what God was making possible for you. Not so that you can meet the demands of your coworkers or your boss or your spouse or your parents or your coach or your teachers. Mm-mm. So that you could be the best you, the power of Christ in you. And you can't do that without Jesus in the gospel of the cross. And the Holy Spirit making that happen in you.